over 4 years in sobriety. Thank you for sharing with us, Mitch.
I'm Mitch, alcoholic. And I know Megan looked at me when she said no profanity, so there goes this. I want to thank you guys for joining us, reiterate what Megan said, and I actually want to thank Bridge to Shore for telling me to do this, because it's been interesting the last 2 months, taking a deep dive into what I practice as spirituality, when it's just been a process that's morphed, and you know, it's not often that I step to the side and take a look and see what I'm doing and see where I'm lacking. So this has been a pretty good opportunity. I ask you to bear with me because I'm a simple carpenter and I've got a fistful of notes here, and I'll do my best to remain cohesive and make sense. A lot of my spirituality has to do, can you hear me or is this loud? Is it too loud? Okay. Thank you. A lot of my spirituality has to do with how I was before, so I'm going to share just a quick clip of what got me to here, and you'll see where it kind of ties in. So I'll go back to 6.5 years ago. I was working. Something happened with my back. I go home. Within 12 hours, I'm at the urgent care and then the ICU because a disc had slipped and ruptured a sac of sepsis that was in my spine, apparently. So I spent the next 35 days there. Well, the first couple weeks, they were making sure that not too many of my organs were going to shut down. And after I got out of there, I went home and I had like this pump that was dumping antibiotic into my heart. Had to switch the bag every day. Meanwhile, this whole time I still had my back injury that they couldn't do anything about until the sepsis was under control. And so that whole time, I developed a pretty good affinity for my prescription drugs that were very readily available with the OxyContin and the oxycodone and, you know, the other stuff. And so they addressed my back and we dealt with that. And then I realized that I had a real problem, you know, and my life was crazy out of control. And that's when, you know, so that was maybe brings us to 5.5 years ago where I started going to AA meetings. And actually went into the retreat, and for a little, you know, the outpatient for a bit, and with that and concern from my doctors, I got off the prescription medication, and so that was good. But meanwhile, it didn't quiet this stuff, this noisy mind I had. I was still like going nuts. I mean, you know, so I was diagnosed PTSD from almost dying. And I had anxiety like through the roof and panic attacks that were just absolutely crippling for days. And so, you know, I'm like, I don't get it. I'm off this medication, you know. So then they treat it with more medication with, you know, different types of benzos, you know, just building up and tapering off. And that didn't work and this and that. 3 times through there. But meanwhile, I'm not honest with anybody. I'm not honest with myself. I'm drinking, you know? And until I realized that, this was the noise in my head was deafening, you know? And so I went to inpatient treatment and had the good fortune to go through that and hit the ground running in a program of recovery with a sponsor. And haven't, you know, there's no wood around here, but knock on wood, hopefully haven't let moss grow around my feet, you know. And I've tried to keep at it, and that's, you know, that's it. And I just keep that going, all, you know, as much as I can. And it really for me, it has boiled down to my spirituality and how I'm reacting to life. and how I'm reacting to the things in life. And so, I mean, I guess it brings me to the first point of my definition of spirituality is, you know, and I hear people say, you know, don't put your higher power in nature and, you know, in a tree or whatever, like all this stuff. It really is my higher power. My higher power is the nature of nature. You know, how the tree deals with the wind, how the wind deals with the lake, how the lake deals with the stream. It's about letting stuff, I mean, just surrendering, you know. And that's, you know, that's not to be confused with defeat. It's just to cease resistance, you know, and be like, be present and deal with things as they're coming to me. And try to do it. I try to do it with offering as little resistance as I can. Now, I mean, I don't let things roll over me, but I don't try to fight the things that I can't affect. Like we say, you know, the things we can't change. Oh, sorry, by the way. So I guess, I've been sober for 4 years. So, thanks. So, you know, I kind of think, in spirituality, I think, you know, that of this big world and just essences just kind of commingling and, you know, this thing comes into your life, this thing passes, you know, and I can't live too much back there, but I can't disrespect it. I need to, you know, the past happened, you know, but I can't dwell in it. I can't do anything about it. I can't dwell in the future. I can acknowledge it. I know that I have a destination, but I need to be aware of my path, my, you know, how I'm getting there, you know, on a step-by-step basis instead of being so focused on that and what that's going to be by the time I get there. You know, so that's kind of how, what I think what spirituality is to me, you know, and some of the ways that I practice this, you know, I practice mindfulness. I try to take in the silence of things between, you know, whether I'm just sitting around or whatever. I just try to take in the calm and embrace it and not try to look at all this other stuff that's going to make noise up here and I can't, you know, do much about it. You know, I take that pause and I use that to, it'd be easy to say, do the opposite of what I used to do, because I used to do some awful things. I cleaned it up. But you know, like the book says, you know, ask God how he would have me be. Would he have me be loving? Would he have me be selfless? Would he, you know? That's, you know, because it's like I said, it's easy to go the opposite, but I want to go more towards what I think I need to be, how I need to deal with this situation, this person, this weather, this broken down car. You know, how can I deal with this without, you know, sending my head into a tizzy? You know, and I used to do that. I used to suppress that with drugs and alcohol, you know, and there also, you know, you can suppress that with physical activity. Sometimes I do that. It's great, you know. But for me, just the pause and the calm and just taking things as they're coming to me and letting life live through me is what works for me, you know. And that's one of the ways I try to practice it. You know, and I heard, and I've really followed this, and I've applied it to a lot of things, about three different ways to deal with stuff. And I think about it, and I try to practice it. You know, either I can change it, you know, without like driving myself crazy doing so, or I can leave. I can get out of that situation that you know that causes me, you know, conflict or disharmony, or I can embrace it. Or I can accept it, you know, and to accept it for me, I need to not just nod my head. I need to like embrace it and wholly accept it, you know. Otherwise, Otherwise, it's just, you know, I'm just sitting there building up resentment, building up, you know, bad, you know, vibes, bad energy, you know. You know, it's weird. So I'm, you know, what, how do I say this? I'm not really training you all, but the, I mean, the people around me, I'm, by that, I mean, you know, the people I deal with day to day, I'm not really training them, but I am letting them know how I expect things. But it's really where I have a problem is it's a fine line between that and being rigid, you know, and being a not nice person. But I find myself doing that a lot, you know, like I can't just, you know, I can state these are my expectations or can you clarify or, you know, all this other stuff. But to go overboard on that, I'm not winning any friends that way. And it's not really how I should be operating. You know, I'm not the boss of them. You know, even my two kids, I'm not the boss of them. I'm certainly not the boss of them. You know, but like, for instance, 2 weeks ago, I had a dinner date, and this person is, they'll run a little late, you know, but it was a place that didn't take reservations. I got there early. It was raining outside. I stood outside, waited with my name on the list, so when they arrived, we would have a table. And so I was seated. And here it is, 5 minutes late, and I get the text that they're still another 15 minutes away. Meanwhile, there's two families of four. I'm sitting at a table that could accommodate these families whose names are on the list, and they're waiting to get in. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit here. You know, I got my appetizer, go, whatever. But some of that, you know, belittle people about it, but I can find myself being rigid, and that's where... when I practice this and I think that I'm sticking to my rules for myself, that's where I need to, I walk the line and I need to make sure that if I falter, maybe falter on the softer side and not so much on the getting down on everyone else and what they're doing and how they're not fitting into my schedule or my what I need for them to do. So yeah, that's really what I try to, how I try to practice spirituality in my life, in my day to day. But like I said, looking at this, writing this down, I mean, I was telling Megan, I'm a builder, and I was taking, as things occurred to me, and you know, I'd write them on a 2x4, and you know, and I'm like, seriously. And I like, I grabbed the 2x4 to bring it home, and I'm like, what am I doing? I got a saw. So I cut it. I cut it into just what I wrote with my big fat carpenter's pencil. And then the next time it happened, it was about a week later, I'm like, oh yeah, I got that saw. And I cut it, and I'm like, I've got a phone that takes pictures. You know, I've got sheets of paper in my truck. I can transcribe it. You know, so it's... again, it's that rigid part of me, but it's just so that's what I do there. Instances, three challenges I face. I mean, I faced a lot of challenges trying to practice a spiritual life in a correct way. But there's only a few that are remotely interesting, so. Or not profane. Well, yeah. I guess one of the more important challenges for me has been discovering my spirituality. Just, you know, newly sober, sponsor says, go out, and I want you to talk to, maybe you said six people, and ask them what role God plays in their life, you know, and so, you know, I start with the easy ones, my parents, you know, and stuff like that. And then I get onto the construction site, and I just ask one person that. But, I mean, because that's probably the only one who God even played a role in his life. But just developing a spiritual life for me was a little tricky. I mean, another thing I hear, you know, is, I hung up on that God thing. It's like, that's, to me, seems really ridiculous. And it's like, someone introduces that phrase to a newcomer. I mean, there's no way all these newcomers know that phrase. You know, it's like, it's not that hard to get past. You know, obviously someone kind of gave you a little life raft to say, I can't get out. And that's, it's my opinion, you know. But I mean, I had a real struggle with it. You know, I didn't use that phrase, but I had a real struggle with it. The Catholics think they have a corner on the world for the guilt and the pain and this, you know, oh, I was raised Catholic. I hear that all, and it's like, try being a Baptist. I went to a Baptist school in North Minneapolis, you know, and it was no treat. And so what was in my head as religion, because that equated to spirituality at that time for me, was ugly. You know, the dean of students, well, it was corporal punishment. Your parents had to sign the waiver. The dean of students, who did all the spanking, was also the shop teacher. So when that paddle broke, he just made another one. When I was there, he was playing with aluminum alloys, you know, and it's like he's putting way too, and his name was Mr. Hazard, which is crazy, but he was putting way too much thought into this corporal punishment, and some of the other teachers and some of the other garbage we had to go through, and I don't mean the religion stuff was garbage, but some of the other, you know, haircuts, you know, that all this other stuff that you could get a whooping for, you know, is like that really soiled me of that idea. So when I had to get down with a higher power, it was a whole thing of peeling this onion off this thing to go back and realize what's actually the basis, you know, and if I went to that Baptist school and I could peel back all their rules and all their, you know, behavior and stuff like that, where would I hope that it would be, you know, in these teachings that span a lot of different religions, you know, and it's just it was tricky for me to kind of peel that back and build upon that, you know, and build upon what my conception of a higher power is, and I did that. It's like higher power helped spirituality, which helped, like I used each to try to figure out what does this whole piece mean to me. You know, I'm not trying to invent anything. I'm trying to learn from a lot of stuff that I'd read or listen to, or, you know, people I would go see or go for state tapes, you know, and just kind of formulated what my understanding of it was, and that was a challenge for me, because I fought it, and it took just getting all the way down and, again, surrendering and realizing I don't need to fight this so much. I just need to learn more, and I need to develop this for myself. So that was probably one of my – well, that was my first tricky challenge I faced. Another challenge I faced where my spiritual life really kind of got tested and got utilized to its most was got a divorce a few years ago. And I knew that it wasn't going to be pretty. It's not something that I think people relish in. But I made it a point. I actually wanted someone who was in the program to work with me on this, you know, and it was really good because that was a real easy place for me to get really vengeful and really upset and really like I'm going to, you know, I'm in spite of myself, I'm going to hurt you and I'm going to hurt other people. And it was good for me. I learned a lot about integrity and spirituality with someone there pulling me back and saying, no, this is, you know, eventually you don't want to do this. You got to put your head on a pillow. You got to look in a mirror, you know, all this stuff. And spirituality and just our talks about it. And actually my sitting down in my calmness of silence afterwards and thinking about stuff, spirituality just helped me through that. And it was, you know, at the same time, like I said, it was tested too, because I've got this real basic instinct that wants to hurt. And because inside everything's in fear. You know, I'm afraid of what you're going to take. I'm afraid of what you might take in the future, you know, and I, my brain, my being wanted to act in ways that I would not be proud of. But at the time they would feel good. And it's, and that's kind of like a, you know, that's, I have microcosms of those all day where I want to act away because right in that moment, it's going to feel good. But I need to pull it back and look at the big picture, you know. I mean, what's it really do to me? I need to sit and listen to my body and say, well, how's that affecting me? Where is this coming from, these feelings that I'm getting, and what, you know, what would God have me be? What should I be doing? Not what's gonna make me feel better, what I think might be best in the long run, but, you know, and I can say, looking at that, not in a deep rear view, but in enough that I can see that whole part of my life in an, you know, I can actually see it behind me. I am very, very happy to have handled it in the way I did, you know. It's really funny because, again, part of digging in this and diving in made me very reflective. And there hasn't been a one single instance where I've, you know, said, well, hey, I handled stuff this way and look at what I did here and look, I didn't hurt this person and I didn't do all this. And I didn't ever say that. And now I'm not that I'm looking for affirmations, but I know in how my kids behave that it's known that they're reacting to my reaction to that, you know, when, you know, and it's hard to get a thank you from an 18-year-old son, you know, but when, you know, he writes me, he's actually in basic training for the Marines, which is crazy for me, but when he writes me and he says, number one, he's an 18-year-old, he's a boy, he's in this generation that doesn't know how to communicate. And he says, thanks for this or that. And I learned this because I've seen he's modeled stuff after me. Right there is not, I don't need to hold a light and say, look how I handled it. Look, you know, I'm seeing how I handled it and how other people are behaving towards people around them, you know, which I think is probably, you know, which is probably one of the key things about handling stuff well is not only how it affects people, but how they affect others, you know? So that's two instances. I guess, you know, the third instance is kind of similar to the divorce thing. I had a thing at work where I had a partner and things weren't great and it wasn't to my suiting. I'm not sure if it was to his suiting, but I put those three things down and I said, all right, can I change this? can I live with this, like fully embrace it and live with it, or can I leave, you know? And I tried two of the things. I tried embracing it, and I tried changing it. And then finally, I actually told him to leave, but it was, you know, it's one of those things where I put this practice to the test and try to follow the rules I've set down for myself. And then at the end of the day, I find I'm regretting a lot less about, you know, I don't regret, I mean, it's not like I don't regret anything, but I regret a lot less if I've handled myself in these ways that again, I think I try to practice a lot. And like I said, in the last couple months that I've kind of looked at this and written notes on two buys and stuff, and I've looked at it and I'm like, yeah, you know, that looks good on wood, you know, but are you doing it? Am I practicing that, you know? And I think every once in a while I do that. I mean, even this aside, you know, I try to check myself and check my moorings and see if I'm being true to what I think I want to be. And sometimes the answer is no, you know? And then I need to look and listen and see what I need to be doing better and how I'm going to do that. And, you know, I do that in little ways all day. Why wouldn't I do that in a bigger way in looking at my relationship with this person or that person or this thing, this house, this, you know, whatever. But yeah, every once in a while I need to take a look at that and see. You know, how am I doing on time?
About 10 minutes.
Oh, I might end up a little early. Let me look through here. Sorry, I kind of breezed through. You know, in doing this also, I realized that it wasn't just surrender that I had to redefine. I had to redefine a lot of stuff, and I had to look at like ego and what is consciousness for me, and how am I dealing with that in my day-to-day life. You know, I you know, as I wrote notes on my margin, you know, I actually, you know, I'm like, you know, what is presence, you know? I mean, what I know how that looks to me. What does it mean? And am I living, you know, in the present, you know? And yeah, it's really good to look at all this and kind of rethink things. And that's about all I have. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Mitch. We will now have some time for roundtable discussions. So please just feel free to talk amongst yourselves. Think about your own spirituality and how you're defining it, and maybe things that Mitch has inspired you to think about in regards to your own spirituality. We'll take about 15 minutes to do this. Thanks. Thank you for that. I'd love to open it up to the floor. We have a microphone here in the back as well, or you can come on up here to me, and I'll be glad to hand over the microphone.
Hi, Adam.
Yes, and this is a good time for getting coffee, pastries, bathroom, or whatever, so thank you for those of you that did come back, no problem, but this is the sharing session for anyone. Yeah.
This is personal to me and Mitch.
Put the mic on your pole so I can hear you.
You notice I put my hand up a lot when you were talking about the cussing thing. And I'm having problems with that too. And I understand that all of a sudden it's, you gotta not say it. But, and I appreciated how honest you were about everything you do and you say. And I really, really would like to have your talk on tape sometime.
Thank you very much. I suppose I should have mentioned that this is, in fact, being recorded, hence the reason we have the microphone. So, yeah, I didn't want Mitch to know that. So, now you know.
See, I could have sworn, because that's how I got out of Baptist school.
Okay.
Anybody else from my group want to come out and talk? Maybe I'm not supposed to say anything today. I'll be especially mindful of my speech. The little group in the back I ended up with, we had a great conversation. We just ran out of time. Went by so quickly. Just a couple of things that I wrote down and from our discussion, also inspired by Mitch's talk, which I found wonderful. And one of the reasons is because you mentioned practical ways of being spiritual. And I think that's a mystery for a lot of people, including me, all my life, you know. No, Malcolm, just let it go. It's not a big deal. Let it go. And, well, how? Right? And in this program, we learn how, but it really, really helps to have, like, those three ways of anchoring yourself into response rather than reaction, like reflect before responding to something in your life. Can I change it? Prayer, meditation, come to your intuition and reason intersection, and you'll find the answer. Can I just embrace it, accept it? And then finally, I think you were talking about, well, I need to remove myself from this situation. So those were, is that about right? I love that. It's practical. It's a tangible, you know, beginning, middle, end kind of conclusive thing. Also, our group talked about, I should own this. I was talking about how sometimes I get upset with my higher power because it's not tangible. When things get bad and I'm stressed out and I don't feel very spiritual, I get pissed off at God. I'm resentful because I have this anthropomorphic kind of Santa Claus slightly pissed off in the clouds thing happening. And that's not going to work for me because I know what it's like to be an atheist, not because I have an opinion about it, but because I'm broken and unworthy and somehow cannot access God. And when I am in that state, frustrated, and there's no God, I quickly get dark and suicidal. Very dangerous, very dangerous. So I'm an expert in the dark. We were kind of talking about that too. Let's become at least, you know, let's advance into the light. If we have a choice at the crossroads, let's choose life. Go for the spirituality, regardless of what anybody thinks. Like, if we're worried about being an AA as a newcomer, you know, it's your life. Ask the questions, you know, and just get a sense of where you're at. Softening rigidity is another one that was very good. How do I present myself and my boundaries to other people and deal with people not behaving the way I want them to? There are a couple of more, but I tend to be a little long-winded, and I'm sure that other people have some things to say. I'll say thank you.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you. My name is Sandra, and I'm an alcoholic. I just want to share how I ended up here. Our group has flyers and agendas, like, of all the things, or we do our best to have all the events in a folder, and then we pass the folder around at our meeting. And this event was a flyer, and I think I'm the only one from my group that came, but I sure am glad I did. So thank you. Our group talked about mindfulness and how important it is to live in the present. And that's not an easy thing to do, but it's something, a word that when Mitch said it, resonated for us. And then the other thing that struck me personally about Mitch in particular is that he has the privilege, now that he's sober, of sharing his gifts of building with other people, and how important it is to have relationships, good relationships, not only with ourselves, but with other people. And he can take it a step further by taking his skill set of being a builder and transforming family lives with what he does, which really intrigues me because I believe that the spiritual is grounded in the reality that we have to live in, you know, the laws of physics. And so rather than thinking for personally, spirituality as being something that's, you know, out there someplace, no, it's grounded in our humanity and through our hands and what we do with our hands. And I know for me, it's much better thinking that I can help somebody in a good way than picking up a drink, you know, and getting drunk. So that's a big change in all of our lives if we're sober today. Did I miss anything? Okay, so breathe to mindfulness.
Anyone else? I'd be happy to take one more person. Thanks, Val.
Sure. Hi, I'm Val, and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. And Mitch, one of the things that part of my spirituality I've had to do ever since I got sober was change my old ideas and change how I did things. And you had a beautiful illustration of that when you wrote on the 2x4. And then your second change was, I got a saw. And we all laugh, but I've pulled out the saw in my sobriety and brought the piece of wood home and never realized I had a cell phone in my pocket. You know, so that was a beautiful illustration for me of how I need, in spirituality, I need to be willing to realize that I'm wrong and that what I've been through, and that was one of the things the set-aside prayer came up in our group, and I really appreciate that, that what has happened in my past sometimes will change how I see today. And I need to be willing to set aside those past experiences and experience today as today. So thank you.
Thanks, Val. We're going to take a second to switch tapes, and we'll reconvene in like 3 minutes.